exalted, His glory above heaven and earth. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. Exalted, His glory above heaven and earth. Holy is the Lord God Almighty.
The word of Christ to us is to be watching. The word of Christ to us is to be watching. And I found myself, as I was thinking upon the teaching for today, I came across the parable of the 10 virgins, of which we know and we look at from time to time, and I found this to be quite applicable to what the Lord is saying to us, how we are to read the signs, the warnings, what is being said, our observation, what God is saying to us through the church, through the Word, by the Spirit. All of this I was thinking about, and that's why I'm calling our teaching today, the word of Christ to us is to be watching. And in this parable of Matthew 25, which I'd like you to turn to, this parable is obviously about being watchful. It's to be ready because something is going to happen. And of course, we know what is going to happen. There is the bridegroom coming. And we're also told that he's going to come like a thief at night. So when you have any idea or inkling that there is a thief about, or you get to hear that there is somebody moving around the area trying to steal things, you become watchful, you are on your guard, because you've had word and you know that something is not right. Well, in many ways, this is spiritually what God is doing with us, the overcomers, as he speaks to us and as he prepares us. And that is why being watchful is so important. Israel had their watchmen, and they were to look out afar and warn if the enemy is coming or there's any signs of the enemy. And they were to sound the trumpet. They were those watchmen, so that they could prepare and be ready and fortified. Well, of course, it's exactly the same with us who walk in the Spirit. And it is those who walk in the Spirit who will be hearing and heeding and watching this. So that is what primarily this parable is about. It's also discovering the times and the seasons that we live. So it's not just a parable about being watchful, but it's also connected with the seasons and the times that we live in. And Jesus, of course, clearly signified to this one, as we know in Matthew 24 and verse 32, which speaks to the parable of the fig tree. Now, this is one of the main parables to discern in these last days. And only those who walk in the Spirit are going to be discerning with regard to this parable. And it says here in verse 32, which you know, "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branches have already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." And of course, he's talking about all these things that will happen, because we know what Jesus says in Matthew 24. So all the events that he speaks of in the last days, wars, rumours of wars, disease, pestilences, all these sort of things, the beginning of sorrow, all what Jesus has been talking about, he then brings this really into a significant point and refers it to the fig tree. Well, we all know what the fig tree points to. It is Israel. Israel in the last days will be the centre of its attention. And it will have many enemies coming in trying to destroy Israel and the nation today as is of Israel. But it's ultimately to try and take the land. And the land is a holy land. The land is where Jesus is going to come again and return and rule and reign upon the earth, setting up his kingdom. And so we are to keep our eyes upon that as our discernment, the parable of the fig tree. And it says that when its branches have already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. In other words, a birth, spring. And of course, we only have to look out of our windows and we see what spring is doing, what this season is bringing forth. new growth, new birth, new colours, and so on. And it is the same spiritually with the nation of Israel, who now are returned back. Now the bones are rattling and coming alive, and the flesh and the sinews are now coming back on the bones, and God will finally breathe his life, his spirit back, and she will be wonderfully born again at the day of Messiah when he comes, when they will look upon the one whom they pierced. Their eyes will be open. So everything leads toward that with regard to our discernment, regarding our watching. Because what God does with Israel, he's doing with the church. And what God is doing with the church, he's doing with Israel. The two move together in that sense. That is why we pray for Israel. We pray for the government. We pray for its restoration. It's very important. You mustn't forget that. Because you're standing in the gap that their eyes will be opened again is the very means of your being prepared and being watchful and so on. So we can't leave any of this out. One of the things that we find with the deeper life teaching is it won't let you be centered on yourself, your own little world, your own kingdom. It is so infinitely greater and bigger. And that is why the cross must be central and to do that work in our lives so that we can always see the bigger picture. And he says, so when you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. He says, know. So it's a knowing. It's a discernment. It is a revelation. Exactly the same. You're ready, watchful, because Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. There's a similarity. Know these things. Know that it's at the door. And he says this generation will not pass until they see all these things take place. Well, we believe that we're well in that generation now, because a sign of that is Israel. Now a nation, Israel, has now got her capital back, Jerusalem. You've got Trump to thank for that. So there we are. We have just some things that we are to think upon. And we know with this parable, there's a remnant. And we know that there's a remnant around the world. Obviously, it's not just FGA, but it is those who are watchful, those who are preparing, those who walk close with the Lord. Now, it's interesting, this remnant that is around the world. I was reminded of the parable of the mustard seed. We know this in Mark chapter 4. And there were one or two things that I believe the Lord highlighted to me with regard to this that I've never really seen before. And that's what's so wonderful about the Word of God, because it's ever continued to be unveiled. There's, as we know, these layers that an onion has, many, 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 many layers. So it's the same with the Word of God. And if you turn with me to Mark 4, and we'll take it up in verse 30... Here it speaks about the parable of the mustard seed, that planting into our heart, that believing. All it takes is just a mustard seed to believe, Jesus said. Well, here it says, and then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? And Jesus says, it's like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground is smaller than any seed on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and the shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And we so often, we're so caught up about the seed being sown, and it grows and grows and grows, and out of the smallest seeds is the greatest tree or herbs or anything that we associate with. It is huge, it is massive, and it is so big that it had shoots and large branches that come out of it. So it's enormous. And what are those branches for? That the birds of the air may nest under its shade. What are these birds? What is that really saying? What is it about? Well, I think we can get an inkling of the parable of the 10 virgins with regard to this. But I believe also it's different kinds of birds. It's not just one type of bird. It's different kinds of birds. And this speaks of the diversity amongst God's people. The gifts that God sets out in the body. What the Apostle Paul said, that the church now under the new covenant is neither Jew nor Greek nor bond nor free, slave or whatever, all one in the body of Christ. But like all of these birds, not all of them really have a heart for God, and yet they rest in this tree. Some of them are religious, but they just find that the church is somehow a place of refuge for them. They feel safe. Well, the body of Christ should be a lot more than just feeling safe. Yes, it has all of that, but it's infinitely more. Because unless the body of Christ seeks the kingdom of God and its righteousness first, then we do not really understand what this mustard seed that was planted is all about. And as I was looking at this, it answered a question for me that I've had before the Lord for many years. Because I came out of religion, I came out of denominationalism. And I'm so aware of how controlling and strong it is. We know that by Rome. And we know that all religions, denominations, all those roads go back to Rome. So why is it in existence? Why has God not judged it after all these centuries and so forth? Here it is. The branches, the birds, all different kinds. And God impressed to me that even in all of this, he has got a remnant who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And sooner or later, they will have to come away, the same as I had to come away, and others who met Christ were still in those systems. And I thank the Lord that he didn't judge it and destroy it, because I wouldn't be here. And this answered an awful lot for me with regard to why God permits things. But eventually he judges it. And we know that the whore, the harlot, will be judged. The book of Revelation tells us. So there we are, these branches that branch out. All types of birds, living creatures. Some are religious and some are free in Christ. But it is there for a purpose, so that all can have a chance to be saved. For it is not in God's heart that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. That is how far the Father's heart reaches out to save. That's how that was presented to me. I'm sure you have your own understanding and interpretation of what that may be. But that answered quite a lot for me. And God is faithful, isn't he? Because there are things at times we don't fully understand, and if we stay with it and are faithful, God in his time and way, when we're ready, he then reveals these deeper truths with regard to this. But this title that we're looking at today, the word of Christ to us is to be watching. We know this, of course, in the seven churches in Asia Minor. And I just want to look at one or two of those, because all of these talks about being watchful and so on, and repenting, being discerning. You see, the message doesn't change. That is what's so wonderful about God. The word of God doesn't change. It is still the same and fresh for us today as it was in the times of the Acts of the Apostles, the time of the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit, his ministry doesn't change. But of course we know that we're so much nearer now to the coming of the Lord. But here, here's the warnings to the seven churches, because they were not watching as they should be. And that is a warning to the parable of the ten virgins. And the foolish virgins were not watching as they should have been. But before we get into that, let's look at some of this. For example, in Revelation chapter 2, here we see the message to the corrupt church, the church at Thyatira. That was the nature, it was corrupt. And in verse 18, let's read, and it says, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first." So it speaks of the latter day outpouring. The former rain and the latter rain. That's what he's referring to there. "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. And I will cast her into the sickbed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds." So this church, because it doesn't repent, is going to go into the great tribulation, and will have to face that decision whether it takes the mark of the beast or not. What is the problem here? It is called this prophetess committing sexual immorality. In other words, it's committing spiritual sexual problems. And of course, we know what is being faced today, what many churches are facing: same-sex marriage and all that sort of thing that's going on. Jezebel has got into all of this, where they're compromising, they're confused. And God calls, and it's not just denominations, it's a lot of churches are involved in all of this. The Spirit is calling these churches to be watchful, because by being watchful, repentance comes as a result, and they wouldn't repent. Because this demon that attacks is proud. Is proud of its liberation. Is proud because God allows all this immorality, and it's in nature sexual unclean. There's so much uncleanness in a lot of these churches, and they don't repent because of pride. And they clearly show they are not watchful. How about Revelation chapter 3? This is the dead church in Sardis. These things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before me. So in other words, in many ways, it's that death to the self-life, to the selfish life. The Spirit is saying you're still at times resisting the cross. You're not allowing my Spirit to deal with those areas. And if we don't let the Spirit deal, we don't let the cross do its work, we find we become selfish. We want to do what we want to do. And that's the problem here. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. This is why I remind us of the deeper life, what we received and have received over the years. Because we're to hold fast, because it works that repentance, it works that bowing of the knee that keeps the enemy off your back. Because he says, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So it is those who are walking in humility, in faith, with their knees bowed before God, desiring within their hearts to get it right, and not running away or pretending or whatever it will be. We don't do this because we're shown he's going to come like a thief in the night. The same as with the parable of the 10 virgins. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. They're the wise virgins. They're watching over their garments, that they don't become spotted by the world, by self. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. And I will confess the name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that's why we come. And that's why we're here. And that's why we're online. Because we need to hear. It helps to prepare us so that we're not caught unawares when he comes like a thief. And that is why the word of God to us in these last days as overcomers is to be watchful, watching. Well, with that introduction, let us get into the parable. And back in Matthew 25, let's read this through. He says, then the kingdom of heaven shall be like unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterwards the other virgins came and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Surely I say to you, I do not know you. In other words, I don't know you with your robes. I don't know you because you were not ready. That's what it means. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So he says, watch, for you don't know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So you can't discern this by a certain day, and you cannot know even by the hour. Yet remember, I opened up in Mark 4 with regard to the parable of the fig tree, which is making us ready, is giving us that discernment. And we know that the fig tree is Israel. So that is very paramount to the wise virgins in being ready and prepared. As I said at the beginning, Israel and the church and the church and Israel, they are moving together spiritually in these last days. Now, we see with this parable, the ten are all together. And of course they are, because they are virgins. And we know that that speaks of purity. It speaks of those born again who are believers. They're together. Similar to that parable of the mustard seed, the tree that grew. All the birds are there in the branches together. And the cry that goes out, what does it do? It exposes the true nature. It exposes where the heart is. It exposes whether we are in faith, trusting, believing, or it is exposed fear and unbelief. Because a stir happens. Things start moving. We know, we've just read the parable. And this is why it is so important, brothers and sisters, to be led by the Spirit in these days. And we need that continual experience of being filled with the Spirit. We know we're baptized with the Spirit, but we need through the baptism that continual filling, which is what the baptism is about. Because that is the oil of anointing. And we know that the oil of anointing comes by hearing the word of God, comes by our fellowship, our coming together. What did Paul say to the church at Thessalonica? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words, which is exactly what we're doing today. But we know that there are requirements needed to that. It doesn't just happen. That is why you have to take the whole of God's word, and the Holy Spirit who teaches us brings it together. So going back then to this parable, now five of them were wise, five were foolish. They're together, they're in fellowship, they are part of the body of Christ. Those who were foolish, verse 3, took their lamps, took no oil with them. So they have the lamps, they have oil, and they take it with them. So all of that they know is right. It's what they've been taught. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So we see something different with the wise. They have those lamps, they have oil, but they have a vessel, a container, something extra. And we know this to be the oil of anointing, the oil of preparation. Their wisdom has kept them watching. You cannot watch if your heart is still in the world and you love the world and enjoy the world and carousing with the world. Oh, the world has a huge amount to offer. Very appealing. It's very good. It gives us a break. But it's not going to make you wise. And we have to be on our guard with the world. And that is why Jesus presented the sword of the Spirit. And we know that that sword comes right in the family, right in relationship, right in husband and wife or whatever. Because that sword in nature is wisdom. Because the Lord knows our hearts. He knows what we do and we're capable of doing. The sword actually protects us from ourselves. So is the sword good news? Or is it torment? Does it frighten you? And that is why the Holy Spirit will work these godly affections within our hearts so that we can be these wise virgins. Because these wise virgins have got, through their commitment, through their love for the Lord, through their obedience, they have obtained that extra vessel. And they have filled it. It's not empty, it's filled. And the deeper life reveals that vessel. And how many pick up that vessel? And not only pick it up, but allow the Spirit to fill that vessel with that oil. Because this is what the deeper life is about. And some see it and some don't. But while, verse 5, it says, the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And we've been in that time. It's been a difficult time over the last, I would say, 10 years. And I can only speak for FGA, where it just seems as though the whole thing at times was collapsing. It seemed people were just leaving us, going away, not interested anymore. Left to just a handful and so on. What is that telling us if we're watchful? Even though we're slumbering, it means that the slumbering, the sleeping, the sleepy time which God has allowed the 10 virgins to go into, because it's a testing to see where our heart, our affections really lie. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And I believe that verse 6 is very much connected with the fig tree. As it puts forth its branches and its leaves, all of that is telling us that the cry is there. He's coming. These are the signs. Get ready, because he's going to come like a thief at night. And at midnight, the cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom, he's coming. Go out to meet him. So there is a cry. The overcomers, the 10 virgins, they hear the word of God. They hear what the Spirit is saying. They have discerned. They've been watching. Something has shown that the bridegroom is coming. A cry has gone out. The overcomers have heard this. Those who walk in the Spirit have heard this, because not all are going to hear it. We know that. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. In other words, the word of God, the oil, the anointing is revived. Could this be for a season the greater works that we believe? That we hold on to? They're virgins. They've trimmed their lamps. So they're a light. The light of the world. The Lord is being seen. The pathway is being made clear. It's lit up. Because the bridegroom's going to come out to go into the bride's chamber, and we know the ancient story of how that was. They lit the way, the path, so he could come out at night and see his way to walk to his bride. And that is what we're going to do. We light up, if you like, to prepare the way of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God does that through the church, the overcomers. So she lights up, because God is light in this darkness. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. So they realize in this time of light, the lamp shining, bridegroom coming, they realize they haven't got enough oil. Something is going wrong. What's happened? Why is this happening to me? This shouldn't be happening. I thought I had got the oil. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Yes, a very selfish act of the wise virgins. But you see, the wise virgins have become desperate. They have sold everything. They have given up everything for the kingdom of God. They put their hands to the plough. There's no turning back. They burn all their bridges. There we are. We've had all that teaching over the years. And they said, no, we can't give you this oil, not some of our, we need everything we have to be ready, because he's going to come like a thief in the night, and I need to be ready. I need to be equipped. I need to be empowered. I need that oil to light, to keep that alight, so that I can see that thief when he comes, because that's what light is about. So the wise virgins have that oil. It is lit. It keeps the light for Jesus to come, so they are not caught unawares. And when he appears, oh, here you are. Our lamps, which are alight, we see you. That's what this is about. And the others, it says in verse 7, while they went to buy, bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And you know the rest. And they find they're too late. They thought they were going to be ready. Their actions, rushing around, getting that oil, preparing, you know, maybe they backslid a little bit and compromised in areas. Oh, I'd better get back into all of this. I've not been walking as I should be. Too late. The warning was there, because we have to be watching. How is this accomplished, brothers and sisters? It's by asking. It's by bowing that knee. It's keeping that prayer life with God, that relationship. It's discerning those things in our lives when it's not going as it should be. And it's doing something about it and not pushing it under the mat. Oh, I'll deal with it later. No, no, no. That's what this tells us about. Because we know the church at Philadelphia is the church, the faithful one. Little strength, but God commends it because you've been faithful with that little strength. You've been faithful as a little group, just a few of you meeting regularly. You've been faithful. As I say, as I bring this now to a conclusion, always with God, there's such a bigger picture that is involved. As I say, and I've said it so many, many times, in the natural, FGA shouldn't happen. It shouldn't be working. It should have split up and gone back years ago, but here we are, because there's a remnant who are faithful, who are working, believing for that extra oil of anointing to be prepared for the last days when the Lord comes, that we have enough. And I believe that extra vessel of oil is our faith. Our faith that is acting. Our faith that knows we have made it. We have made it in that race. Our faith knows that we have done everything that we know, and we are prepared, we are ready for him to come. And he doesn't come and in a sense where we're off our guard like a thief comes. Our faith knows this. Our faith is reaching out. We're prepared. We're ready. That's why God says it's not by might nor by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. And it can only be done by the Spirit of God. Because God loves the bride. He has prepared the bride for his son, the Son of Man, who is going to marry his bride. God has prepared that, and it's going to happen. And it's going to happen to those who are watching, who are ready, who are prepared, who are allowing the Holy Spirit to do in our lives what he wishes and wants to do. And that is why I always say this teaching, the deeper life that God has graciously granted me to share with you, is a teaching of preparation. The bride making herself ready. God will not let me lose sight of this. And I thank him for that. I cannot speak for others and what they're preaching. There are many good preachers and teachers out there who are preaching a good message, a message of salvation, evangelists. But I know that the ministry that God has given to me is a ministry for the wise virgins in these closing days. So that's really what we've been looking at, brothers and sisters. The parable of the fig tree is so paramount, connected with this. This is why we hear of these things now. We hear what's going on in the world and politically. And yes, sometimes we get these videos and clips and messages and whatever, but we know what to do with them. A lot of them, yes, we have to discern them. There's a lot of fear. There's a lot of confusion out there as well. But Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And we know what we do when we hear and read these things. We turn it to God in prayer, in warfare. And that is the difference. There are many who read these things, and you see how many thousands, if not millions, read a lot of these videos and these clips. But they're just held in the confusion and fear of it all. we're able to turn it to God in prayer. And that is the difference. I ask the Lord just to bring to me what I need to know and what I need to hear. Because otherwise you can spend all your time just looking at all this stuff, because there's just myriads of it. But the Holy Spirit, he will bring to us, both individually and corporately as a church, what we need to hear. What is right at this moment, this season, so that we can take that before God in prayer, intercession and warfare. Because as I've said before, your prayers are pushing back the powers of darkness so that God can prepare the wise virgin so that she can be ready. Our prayers, our warfare is getting us ready, the man-child. Because Satan's out to try and destroy. He's out to try and destroy your faith as an overcomer. And that is why I make so much about spiritual warfare, because it's enabling the man-child to develop and be ready. Where is the dragon in Revelation 12? Right there with the woman who's about to give birth. Why is he there? Why is he watching this day and night? Why is he watching you, FGA, day and night? Because we are to be born. The five virgins are going to come forward. The overcomers are going to rule and reign with the Lord. There is to be a marriage in heaven. And the dragon is trying to stop this. And your prayers, your faith, your commitment to the Word of God, your coming together, meetings like this, pushes back the powers of darkness. I wish more of our brothers and sisters could see this one. Instead of running away and burying their heads in the sand. But God knows all things. He's on the throne. He's in control. And we know what to do. Like Isaiah, he heard God speak. And as a result of hearing God speak, he said, "Here am I, use me." And we are hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church. And he doesn't force any of us, but our lives and our hearts say, "Here I am, Lord, use me. I'm available." Praise God. Well, there we are. That's what we've looked at today. The word of Christ to us is to be watching. Heavenly Father, thank you for exhorting and encouraging us, helping us, maybe answering some questions or exposing some areas within us that we have need of seeking you. Lord, you know. We always know, Father, that the word is tailor-made. It is what we have need of hearing. And I pray, Lord, that it will glorify your name, that it will work within my brothers and sisters to be and to maintain those wise virgins. Lord, there are times when it's difficult, it's not easy. There are times, Lord, when we have to make choices and decisions, maybe upsetting people or family or whatever it is. But Lord, you always give the grace. And I pray, Lord, that we will continue with that vessel that we have, that anointing oil, that vessel may be full to overflowing. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
The way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you. Straight, and the